I'm Morgan Teoka.
This is the Challenge Her podcast.
This is the Challenge Her podcast. Hey team, it's Morgan Teoka here from the Challenge Her podcast. So today we are back for session number 3, where we're talking about psychological well-being. So the first two we spoke about, obviously, what this is going to entail, and then we looked into physical. So in the last session that we had, we just spoke about all the physical well-being strategies that you can use and implement quite quickly in order to help readjust your life and the energy that you're going to need to sort of compromise in order to get your goal. But I think also from that, and probably one of the most important, comes down to your psychological well-being, because at the essence, it tells you your why and who you are. So to give you an understanding of psychological well-being, it explains who you are currently in life. And if you look at the most updated evidence around mental health and mental illness, what Corey Keyes, who's a researcher in this field, he has been able to show that majority of the world lives on this line of moderate mental health. So above that is flourishing and below that is languishing. So mental health and mental illness are two completely different things. Mental illness is something that you are diagnosed with or something that you have. Mental health is a controllable. So you can actually be dealing with a mental illness such as anxiety or depression, but you can also be flourishing with your mental health. So you can live well and function well with anxiety. It's learning, I guess, the strategies that work best for you in order to reach flourishing that can just help manage that mental illness that you might not be able to get past. So really important to understand, 80% of the world just sits on this moderate mental health line where every day they manage their mental health and they manage their life and they sort of cycle through and they try a few different things, but they don't actually reach flourishing. And to be flourishing, you're feeling good and functioning well most of the time. So feeling good and functioning well has a lot to do with your energy, your ability to balance what your life is currently is and your day-to-day tasks and how it aligns to your purpose and the person you're trying to be. But if you don't have the vision or the picture of the person you're trying to become and the values you're trying to withhold on a daily basis, it is impossible to have flourishing mental health. So I think a really important thing to understand is if you have flourishing mental health, it actually shows that you have incredible on-field performance. If you listen to, I'll add the link in, but Dan Carter does a great high-performance podcast with two of these guys over in the UK, and he speaks a lot about energy, a lot about scheduling, and a lot about purpose and just having this real conscious awareness of life, his tasks, his daily routines, how they impact him, and how they're moving towards some type of goal or aligning to his values and the person he's trying to become. So how do we get to flourishing? And flourishing is obviously having that psychological wellness down pat. Flourishing really depends on your identity and your aligned values. So values are a tough one, because when you are under 25, the evidence shows that you don't really know what your values are. You know what's important to you, but you can't sort of articulate your values. And over 25, you're more inclined of doing so. So what you have to first do is, if you're under 25 and you feel like you don't really understand what values are, you just write down, what are the 5 most important things currently in your life? So you write down a lot, you know, a lot of people put family, health, friends, rugby, and something else. Maybe it's church or religion, some type of spirituality, could be anything, music. And you write down those 5 things. And then you look at your current environments. So when you look at, let's say, rugby, work, home life, maybe those 3 environments, and you look at the things that are most important to you, try and map out how many times you see those important things, you're interacting with them on a daily basis, or you're aligning your life with tasks or different types of actions and behaviors that work around what's important to you. So when you look at your environments, if you go, yep, I contact my mum, you know, once a week, or and check in and make sure she's doing well. And how much do you put in to your current things that are most important to you? So if you're over 25, what you can do is work through some values. And there's different ways of doing this. You can actually go online to a really great website and do a values quiz. And it starts to look at what are your current values. So for example, mine are health, family, purpose, love, and hope. I did that online. And then what I did was outline actions on a weekly basis that align to my values. So because we can get really caught up in managing our life and moving subconsciously, where we don't really look at our daily behaviors or our actions, and we're not really sort of self-assessing every single day, we can really fall into the trap and below the line where we're just managing our lives. And we start to notice when we come to this that we have all these areas of our lives that aren't currently aligning to our values. So if you look at, say, a goal of being this amazing person down the track, or this successful person, or, you know, an NRL athlete or NRLW athlete, and you look at what she looks like and say she's really disciplined, say she's extremely hardworking, she's meticulous with her daily nutrition and sleep habits, she is courageous, she takes risks, and you look at currently who you are and you go, okay, well, who I am right now and the actions I have right now, they don't align to being that person. So if you looked at your goal in like a path form on your way towards it, you'd probably notice that, oh, I'm actually steering away. I'm not really moving forward, because you got to understand, like, your forward might sort of be a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, and it should look like a bit of an S shape or in a bit of squiggly line. But what that shows is that you're reassessing a bit more and a bit more. And the more you reassess and align your values to your actions, the more your big squiggly S shape that's moving backwards some days, moving sideways some days, moving forward some days, it actually starts to sort of straighten out into a more of a, you know, slight wave through your line to your path. Because what you're doing is you're consciously starting to look at what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, and is that taking you one step closer towards the person you're trying to become, or is it taking you backwards a step? So every time we manage a day and we just flow through the motions, that's us just holding still. Every time we break left or break right or do something different, that's us moving sideways. But if we keep managing, we just sit in the same spot. So you can start to notice, hey, I'm actually nowhere near closer. But the problem with us is we don't reassess enough. We sort of just hope, we get empowered, we look forward, and then we don't really act on it. So when we work with athletes, what we talk about is feeding the hungry. So we only look at feeding the hungry and feeding the athletes who are wanting to progress, wanting to change, they're wanting to take on board, and they're willing to make mistakes and fail in order to keep moving forward. And I think there's two real key lessons out of that is, one, it's all self-determined. So you've got to show up every day and you've got to keep showing up, even when you can't control the outcome, especially when you know that there is a chance of failure. So failure is the only way you can move forward. You cannot move forward and progress without failure. So they come hand in hand. And so what we start to notice is we go from having maybe like 50% of athletes on the wheel going, yeah, so keen, definitely want to be better, want to be the best I can be, blah, 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 blah. And then what we notice is after one or two steps going forward, they start to fall off because life gets in the way and managing our day-to-day chores gets in the way, and we start to prioritize our life management over our goals and our alignment. So we manage our life instead of align our life, and there's a huge difference. So how do we do that? Like, if we're, say I'm not a self-determined person, say I'm like, I'm really interested and I'm empowered, but I know my current habits don't align to the person I'm trying to become. Well, there's a few things that you can do around your environment that can help you. So one of the key things is positive engagement. So this is a really common thing that comes up, especially for our young kids at school, but you hear a lot of teachers every now and then say, your five people that you're around the most matter, and you become the fifth person out of those people. So if you hang around four intelligent people, you'll become the fifth. If you hang around four dropkicks, you'll become the fifth. If you hang around four studious people, you'll become the fifth. So your environment is 70% of your behavior. And if you're an athlete and you're walking into some type of high performance environment, you need to find the most experienced person who consistently demonstrates high performing behaviors, and you need to have courage to go and have a conversation with that person and ask some questions about their daily schedules, their daily lives, and how they manage their world. Because when we get to this point, when we're trying to encourage our athletes to go and find these people, they know who they are, but they don't want to go have the conversation because they're nervous or scared. At the end of the day, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So unless you have the courage to go and be brave and have those conversations with those people, how are you going to know what are the key successful disciplines that you need to control in order for you to be a high performer? And that could be as easy as finding a high performer in business, finding a high performer in a women's network or in a different sport. What you'll start to see is high performers have extremely similar behaviors and actions. They just align to different contexts. And it is easier to find someone in your current environment. So if you're a rugby league player and you're trying to be the best of the best, you look at your top 10%, you'll find that person in the club, because every club has one. They've usually been in the game for a long period of time. They're managing their world well. They show up every day. They're quite disciplined. They're able to balance their life. They're able to talk about failure, and they're progressive. Those are the people that you need to go and have conversations with and put yourself around. And if you fall into the trap of like, I'm nervous, I'm scared, or I'll just stay here, that's fine. But just know, if your goal is to be this person over here, to have this type of purpose, to be a consistent high performer, then you cannot get that without putting yourself around those types of people. Unless you're extremely disciplined and you already have incredible high performing habits on a consistent basis, if you're something that falls off the bandwagon, takes a few steps back, manages life, well, then you need to find those people. And I'll give you a clear example. Like for me, in a staffing environment right now, I'm the type of person who needs to find some really influential high performers in this environment, because I'm finding that the more self-aware I'm becoming, the more I'm starting to realize the current people I'm spending most amount of time with around my work environment does not align for me to be a high performer. So I've got to now go search for those people, and I'm totally going to be in control of that, because it's super important for me to do that. The other thing is, once you have your values, you start to have meaning. So you start to understand the person you are, and you see your value away from the game. So having those values around in your vision, maybe as your screen saver on your phone, on your computer, up on the wall, in your bathroom, having them around consistently with behaviors attached to them. You know, so say health is one of your values, and you say, wake up every morning and go for a walk. Wake up every morning, do a mindfulness activity. Go to sleep, write down three things that you were thankful for today and show some gratitude. Maybe they're the little types of things that can align to your value, making sure that those behaviors are there so they can then prompt you to go and do them. I think understanding and being self-compassionate that you're not going to be good at these things, but you need to know, how do I be 1% better every day? So being compassionate enough to go, I can fail, but then being persistent enough to turn around and go, but I'm still going to show up because I know who I want to be, and I know that this is a process. You're building a muscle, like you're building a mind muscle. And the more positive reinforcement you can put around you, the more aligned you will become. And I think that is the clearest thing, because once you have those down pat, then you can start to look at some psychological strategies to help you manage stress. But until you have your values set and you have a clear understanding of the person you are trying to become, what happens is if I take away the thing you're good at, you can't tell me who you are, because you tend to attach who you are to what you're good at. But if you currently have good aligned values of the person you're trying to become, and I come over and I take away rugby league from you and I say, you're not selected this week, you're injured for the next 2 months, you go, that's all right, I'm still hardworking, healthy, loving, I have hope and family. And every single day I can demonstrate those things and still move forward, and they don't align to rugby league. And what happens is if we put that on field context, when you're in the 60th minute of a game or the 72nd minute of a game and your team's under pressure and you're exhausted and you feel flogged and you see an opportunity, you tend to take that risk because you know if you fail at that, you still have value and you still have purpose. What we find is people that attach their identity to the sport, they tend to get rigid and anxious, and they have high stress and high anxiety because they can't deal with the uncertainty of what if this happens? What if I fail at this? Then everyone is going to think I'm worth nothing. Then I'm going to think I'm worth nothing. So I think that's a really important, in order for us to get psychological strategies around how do we deal with stress and how do we deal with uncertainty, the first point of call is to have our values. So I'm going to put a link in the podcast for you to use if you don't have any values cards or you don't have them written down. And what you're going to do is you go on and you write those values down on a piece of paper, and then you need to write down how those values look in your main environments. So in your home, at your sport, at work, and maybe in the public. And you write down what are some of those key values and how are they shown in those four environments that would align to me being the best version of myself. And then you make it as visible as possible every day. Even with alarms, you make sure you're aware of it, because it's really hard to stay on track. If everyone could stay on track, everyone would be successful. So only the top 10% do it, and that's why we only feed the hungry. It's been the biggest lesson for me, and I'm still learning every day, but this stuff is so important and I hope you get a lot out of it. Please make sure you try the values stuff in the podcast description, and I will talk to you next week. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Challenge Her podcast with Morgan Teoka. Follow, rate, and share to help empower and educate young women.